"Dost thou know thy mother now, child?" asked she, reproachfully, but with a subdued tone. "Wilt thou come across the brook and own thy mother, now that she has her shame upon her, now that she is sad?"
"Yes, now I will," answered the child, bounding across the brook and clasping Hester in her arms. "Now thou art my mother indeed, and I am thy little Pearl."
In a mood of tenderness that was not usual with her, she drew down her mother's head and kissed her brow and both her cheeks. But then, by a kind of necessity that always impelled this child to alloy whatever comfort she might chance to give with a throb of anguish, Pearl put up her mouth and kissed the scarlet letter too.
"That was not kind," said Hester. "When thou hast shown me a little love, thou mockest me." "Why doth the minister sit yonder?" asked Pearl.
"He waits to welcome thee," replied her mother. "Come thou and entreat his blessing. He loves thee, my little Pearl, and loves thy mother too. Wilt thou not love him? Come, he longs to greet thee."
"Doth he love us?" said Pearl,
looking up with acute intelligence into her mother's face.
"Will he go back with us, hand in hand, we three together, into the town?"
"Not now, my dear child," answered Hester, "but in days to come he will walk hand in hand with us. We will have a home and a fireside of our own, and thou shalt sit upon his knee, and he will teach thee many things and love thee dearly. Thou wilt love him, wilt thou not?"
"And will he always keep his hand over his heart?" inquired Pearl.
"Foolish child, what a question is that!" exclaimed her mother. "Come and ask his blessing." But whether influenced by the jealousy that seems instinctive with every petted child towards a dangerous rival, or from whatever caprice of her freakish nature, Pearl would show no favor to the clergyman. It was only by an exertion of force that her mother brought her up to him, hanging back and manifesting her reluctance by odd grimaces, of which, ever since her babyhood, she had possessed a singular variety, and could transform her mobile physiognomy into a series of different aspects with a new mischief in them, each and all. The minister, painfully embarrassed but hoping that a kiss might prove a talisman to admit him into the child's kindlier regards, bent forward and impressed one on her brow. Hereupon Pearl broke away from her mother, and running to the brook stooped over it and bathed her forehead, until the unwelcome kiss was quite washed off and diffused through a long lapse of the gliding water. She then remained apart, silently watching Hester and the clergyman, while they talked together and made such arrangements as were suggested by their new position and the purposes soon to be fulfilled. And now this fateful interview had come to a close. The dell was to be left a solitude among its dark old trees, which, with their multitudinous tongues, would whisper long of what had passed there, and no mortal be the wiser. And the melancholy brook would add this other tale to the mystery with which its little heart was already overburdened, and whereof it still kept up a murmuring babble, with not a whit more cheerfulness of tone than for ages heretofore.